Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen. And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a place to learn to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case. And this is, above all, a show really about gratitude felt and gratitude expressed.
Just to be clear, a love letter can be to anyone at all, for any reason, and at any time.
And a love letter is a letter on real paper and mailed. And I have so often said a letter isn't a letter until it's mailed and it's received. And I think I'm going to have to backpedal on the received, because sometimes it doesn't get there, and that's not anybody's fault. It doesn't make it less a love letter that you've sent. But it really does need to be sent to somebody to differentiate it from a really good personal essay.
Right.
And love letters can do so many things. They can encourage, heal. There's just no end to what they can do. Anything you want to say to anybody can be put in the form of a love letter and make two people happy.
And regular listeners of this program will hear it all. Because love letters go way, way beyond romance, but they can be romantic too.
And they're custom-designed gifts, primarily. They're a gift. It is a gift designed by you, probably for one person in this universe. It will never go out of style, and no one else will ever send that gift. And I would just like to take a minute to share something. One of our guests, Deborah Ayer, who wrote a letter to her brother on this show a while ago and was very shy about it, sent us a beautiful note about how it's affected her. And she also came up with a wonderful tip that neither Teresa nor I had thought about, but here it is. Teresa, will you read it?
Yes, and just a little more clarification. Deborah was able to listen to herself because the show is now on our Love Letters Live website, and everyone can go back and listen to them. So Deborah listened to herself, and this is the lovely letter that she sent to us. Dear Janet and Teresa, while sitting down with you to talk about writing a love letter to my brother, I felt uncertain about addressing our disparate experiences with our parents. When I went home to write the letter, I found myself stymied, going over that section again and again, unable to get comfortable with what I wanted to convey. Obviously, emotions were running high. I lucked out in that when it came time for the show to air, to my complete surprise, hearing myself speak changed my feelings dramatically. What I heard myself saying sounded perfectly reasonable and loving, without a trace of the negativity I was so worried I might be guilty of. Obviously, being alone with your thoughts is a radically different experience than expressing them, and yet another experience to hear them expressed. So here's the tip that Deborah sends to readers. While not all your listeners will get to sit down with their radios and listen to themselves as if to a stranger, it seems there's an important tool to be gleaned here. If composing a love letter proves too emotional, why not set it aside a little while and then have someone you trust read it to you? Perhaps hearing the words separated from yourself, in paren, your voice, your style, your baggage, in paren, will reveal what is being written instead of what you fear is being written. All the best, Deborah Ayer.
Thank you, Deborah Ayer. That is wonderful. So I think now we want to just go right to our guest.
Sure.
Okay.
We have wonderful guests every week. And who is it today, Janet?
Our guest today is Marcus Moreno. Marcus is a contractor, and I met Marcus because he actually was the contractor for doing some work in my kitchen. Marcus is the founder of Agape Construction Services. And by the way, if you need a wonderful contractor, he is reachable at agapeconstructionservices.com. He does residential construction, general contractors, and he works from foundation to finish, so anything you need. I found that Marcus was a contractor I loved seeing walk in every morning, and we have become friends from this, which I am so grateful for. Marcus has been married for almost 25 years now to the same woman and is the father of five. So, Marcus, I want to just go right to you and ask you, in line with what we're doing, what are some of the challenges, blessings, unexpected gifts in your life that you have looked at, that you've met, that you've embraced, and that you've thought about?
Well, I guess the biggest gift in my life is family and children. I'm right now, this is how I envisioned it, my life as it is. Goodwill and peace in the home, and loving real people for children.
You say that like you've learned this, like you've had to work to get to this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Why don't you talk about that, because I know that you had have a spiritual aspect of your life that came to you, and that that your childhood experiences set you on a path of the kind of man you wanted to be. So you talk about it.
Well, growing up, you know, was very difficult. My father was a very angry person, and there was no, the house was not peaceful. So that's what I remind my kids today. You know, I wasn't raised like this. Be grateful. Be grateful about what's going on around you. And I think it all kind of centered around my father, all that happened, negative and positive.
There was something that set you on a, I will never be that.
Oh, yeah, that experience. I remember.
Really instructive and moving.
Right. Well, when I was a little boy, I guess I was about 9 years old or so, I remember being under a table or something, another a furniture or something, and I was looking at my father brutalize my mother, and I said verbally then, I said, I will never be that man. And I told my mom later that I made that commitment, that I was never going to be that man. But it wasn't to be that way. I started to, it's kind of interesting. I am my father, and he is part of me. But as I grew older and I was married, and we started to live our lives, and I felt like a slippery slope. I was becoming the person that I hated. And with
what made you know
rage,
that?
Just uncontrollable rage, drugs and alcohol. Mm. Although my father was not a drug abuser, I did, and those things were controlling my life. And although I never struck my wife, I used words, and I'm not sure which is worse sometimes. And I was just out of control, I guess.
And so what changed that?
What happened?
You're so not
was,
that kind of man now. I can see that.
Well, thank you. I think what I realized, we were searching as a couple. We were looking at different religions, and we had found a church. And what I realized, I had an epiphany. I was desperate, I guess, because I didn't felt like I had any control over what I was doing. And in this desperation, I called out to God, and I said, please help me, because I can't live this life. And I realized that strength and that power had to come from without. And I had a lot of people call it an epiphany or a religious experience, mm-hmm. with, and it just came to my head, and it's, I almost verbally, bright lights and everything, it was spectacular.
Now, was this on your own, or you had gone to a retreat, or you had gone to some group?
No, well, it was, you know, we had gone to church for like 9 months, and I would go to church and just be, you know, friendly at church, and but at the same time, the teaching that I was receiving was enlightening, but I had to cross that bridge of trust and say, okay, I accept it and I agree with it. That and in my heart and my mind, I heard and said, Jesus is God. And at that time, at that moment, my life changed, and it healed my marriage almost overnight. I mean, we are still having, you know, of course, difficulties like humans will, but, and I still have, you know, dregs of a past life, you know, that still rear their ugly heads at me. And
it's so nice that you know what they are then, and you know what to do with them, apparently.
Yes. Yes.
So you mentioned, I think when we talked before, that there was a retreat that you went to. accompany your wife and
it was a marriage retreat, and I knew that I could not, you know, it's easy to pretend, to go to church and pretend for a couple of hours and smile and be nice to people. It's, I am a chameleon, I could do that, but to do it for a whole weekend, I knew I couldn't fake it for a weekend, so I either had do something about this issue, because it was a pressing issue. Not only was there the desperate inability to have self-control, but also the spiritual pangs of something, a vacuum, a void in my life.
And so. I think people do have a sophisticated, very often people are sophisticated spiritually, and they know that there's something that needs to be there.
Yes.
So let me ask you then, given that, who gets the love letter today?
Well, I looked at a couple of people, but I decided on my father, because I looked at the highest and lowest moments of my childhood, and they both involved my dad, so I thought, I should write Dad a love letter.
So he's the blessing and the challenge?
Yes.
Is that what, okay. A lot of people say it's mixed, and I think that makes sense.
Marcus, I'm curious, what were some of the high points? You mentioned the low.
The high points were just being with Dad, you know, just, you know, he would try to impart his working skills, his trade, you know, and strapping on that big tool belt that was his, I look back and I think, you know, because you get in a point of some siblings, of my siblings, are angry with father, of dad, and I remind them to look back and see those moments where he tried. I think he was conflicted, and he tried to do the right thing, and you know, he was dealing with some things himself, and so being a father now, I've developed some empathy for him.
Yeah, I think parenting, being the parent, helps us all understand our parents a little better, doesn't it?
That's right.
And you have five children, and he had how many?
Six.
Six. And I think, I mean, I have thought this forever, that is such a difficult thing for one man to have to be responsible for providing for six children. That is hard work, and to do it, and you've had some advantages in life.
Yes.
So, but you've still, that's an enormous
responsibility
yes, on your shoulders to do it physically, earn a living, provide education and a house and the emotional stuff.
That's right.
I think that's hard.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, our generation is changing, where the older Americans say, hey, I provided food for you, that's it. Don't expect any more, you know. But now I think the modern man is more well-rounded, where you want to foster a better generation.
Yes, yes. So I would say, I would ask, and maybe do you want to do station identification?
Well, sure. Just quickly,
and then
just
we'll
to
get
remind
back
our
to
listeners
this.
That this is KUSF 90.3 FM. The program is Love Letters Live. We are on the air every week, and we encourage you to join us.
So I want to ask, getting back to Marcus, what is the goal of this letter? And you had indicated something really nice.
I wanted to let him know that he is part of me. I am part of him. It's like I could almost interpret or predict what he's going to do in a given situation. And I love him. I love my dad.
That's so nice. What kind of a man was he? You said he was a brawler.
He was a brawler. I mean, he was a kind of a big guy. He's a lot taller than me, and tall, dark, and handsome. He had brilliant green eyes, and he was a soldier in the army, a paratrooper, and he was also a boxing guy. And he was a rambling kind of guy.
So writing him a letter, I would guess that part of your goal is, when you focus on what you loved and what was good and what you now understand, it's a way of letting him off the hook.
That's right.
For the things he did wrong.
Yes, absolutely. And I had a conversation with him once, and it didn't go quite as I expected, but I needed to tell him this. And I said, Dad, I want you to know I forgive you for everything. And his response to me was, Marcus, I'm not in a position to be needing forgiveness from you. And, you know, I think about that, and it was wrong of him to say that, but it was more for me than it was him. I needed to release myself from my father. And
it feels good to let people off the hook and not carry that anger.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what it was. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I may have missed this. Is your father still living?
Yes, he's still alive.
Okay.
Yeah, he lives in Texas.
Because sometimes our guests write to parents who have deceased, and they write that for themselves.
That's right. And you had said when we first spoke that you like this show's vision of not leaving things unsaid, to say what we feel while we still have the chance.
Absolutely.
And I know that appealed to you. And by the way, you always have the chance, but how nice to be able to say it while he has the chance to read it and know what you feel.
Yeah. You know, I could see this, doing this radio program before, like, because my father and I have made peace, or I have made peace with him. And it was very cathartic. So this is kind of a retelling of history that I've gone through with my father, and I love him. I really genuinely love him, you know, you have to, forgive and forget.
And I want to ask you, though, you've done this with your father, and I know you have a good relationship with him, but have you ever put it on paper?
No. Okay. No, I've never put it on paper. And so this love letter will go out, and I hope it's well received.
Of course you do. But, you know, he'll be able to look at it forever, better than a conversation.
Yeah.
So it would, you had mentioned the letting go of the difficult, and that the ideal would be for him to say to you, I'm sorry I've harmed you, please forgive me, but that you're not waiting for that.
No, and I'm not going to. I don't think I need that for, you know, because my spiritual journey has taught me that we have a heavenly Father, so I can lean on him and trust him, and he's worthy of our trust. I'm aware. I'm at peace with that.
And so it seems you're talking about the strength he has here, or you wouldn't be at that stage that you could love him unconditionally, your dad. So talk about the things that are his strengths. And I think it's important, I think, in love letters, it's one thing to say I love you unconditionally, and it's another, and important and beautiful, and another to say I understand why you are who you are.
Yeah.
But there are specifics, and I think parents, I think everybody, loves knowing that you noticed certain things or that you remembered certain things. And he has a lot of things that you remember, and I think he'd be really touched by that. So what are some of the things that you know about him?
I remember his work ethic. You know, he just worked so hard. He was a hard-working man. I remember.
What was his work?
He was a carpenter.
Uh-huh.
He was a union carpenter. In fact, he was the first. His family was the first Mexican-American carpenters in the whole state of Indiana. So it was pretty interesting to see how, because it's kind of racist there. You know, where
I was going
to
ask. That's not a commonplace.
No,
there's not a big Mexican community there, is it?
No, there wasn't. Now there is. There's because of farming, but but during that era, in the late 50s, there was not a lot of opportunity for non-whites. And you know, his work ethic. I remember being in the snow with him, and he is drenched in sweat, working in the snow, and I'm bundled up, and he's working so hard. His humor. He was a prankster. He always did fun things, and he could tell jokes. He had great jokes, and he's a fun-loving person. When you were with my dad, you felt hosted, or he was a good host. I mean, he would always make people feel comfortable.
How nice.
Yeah.
Well, you got that from him, I guess, then. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what your mother was like, but... You say you are your father, and of course we carry our parents within, but you've got all these kind of things that you're talking about. His strengths are clearly yours, from what I know of you.
Yeah. I want him to know that I'm so much a part of him, that he's so much in me that I understand him. I need to, and I have objectively looked at his attributes and try to accentuate or focus on the good things and make those things better.
You have a list of those.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I'm just curious about one other thing. You want him to know, for example, how good your life is with your own family and your own children, and will you tell him those kind of things?
Yeah, he does. He knows that. He actually one time, you know, my dad was not very generous with verbal praise, and there was one moment where he revealed. He said, "Marcus, I see how you are with your wife and your family, and I so respect you and appreciate you."
That's so nice.
I had never heard that from my father before, and so it was pretty important.
I would say so. And, you know, we do learn from our children.
Yes.
I mean, so he learned something from you.
Yeah, you know, I want my children to do better than I did, you know, with the whole, you know, family, business, world around us. And the next generation should be better,
yes.
I think.
So now you talked for a minute about how Indiana was kind of racist there. In what way? I mean, obviously that would affect everybody, but how did he deal with that and how did you...
I think he would come home and beat us, you know. Yeah. I mean, his one way of dealing with it. He had a lot of anger,
yes.
You know, and I guess his father was that way too. His dad was very angry, and he lost his father when he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so the responsibilities of his family were put on him pretty early. He had a large family, I think. Oh, gosh, I can't even remember now. It's 11 kids, I think, something like that.
Ouch.
Outrageous, yeah.
I mean, from just the female side,
yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, Janet, and Marcus, I'm curious. I know that you're going to talk about the many positive things. Would you bring up the forgiveness issue again in this letter, or would you talk about some of the aspects of your childhood that were not so positive?
Yeah, you know, we had an experience, this was in 1988. I had moved back from Southern California with my wife and our newborn baby, and I had moved in with my mom and dad for a short period until we got a place to stay. And mom and dad had come home from an event, and they were arguing. And when I walked in the room, he had his fist raised to hit my mom. And I attacked him. And when I was on top of him, I couldn't stop hitting him. And, you know, that experience was... I always felt guilty about that afterwards, because it's something that you should never do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a lot of rage had to flush out. I don't know, but you know, we haven't talked about that event since then.
Is there something you want to say about that, or?
I just want to say that I'm sorry that I did that.
You'll say that to him.
I apologize, Dad.
But you were protecting your mother.
Yes.
I mean, there is
absolutely.
That. What a terrible spot to be in.
Yeah. It was a.
Did he ever do it again?
No, he never did. He never
yes,
did.
Yes. Okay. So you ultimately did something difficult,
it
but
changed
useful.
His behavior, I think, where he knew that he had other men around that he would be accountable to.
I think. To know what it feels like to be on the other end.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a beautiful letter. And I want to just say that I know we don't ever send these things. We don't ever send a gift so that we'll get something back. Mm-hmm. And I know that isn't the spirit you're sending it in. But having said that, if you have something really that you'd like to share with us about anything that comes of this.
Okay.
I mean, I know you're not going to ask him. But if something comes that you are comfortable sharing and would like to, that we can share with people who have heard you on this radio show, it would be really nice.
Okay.
So will you do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great story.
I imagine that'll be in the mail.
Okay.
Shortly, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Gosh, I didn't go like we talked that one day. It was a little more fluid that day. That we were just,
that's okay. But you know something? Okay. It's just fine because things change. You know, sometimes you start out in one direction, and then in thinking it over, or other things take over. I think everything that you've said is just wonderful.
Okay.
And what will be in the letter will be wonderful.
Okay.
So,
and I would encourage you to do as Deborah Ayer did, to read it out loud. I really, when I write things, I always let them cool off overnight, at least if I can, and read them again with new eyes
to make sure that it's really
what I wanted to say, or that it sounds like I think it will. And of course, if there's anything that I have any question about, if in doubt, leave it out.
Yes, and that is one of the big pluses of a love letter. It's not a phone call and it's not a conversation. It is a combination of feeling and thought, and you do get to look at it. And not to change anything, to be insincere or dissemble in any way, but sometimes you look at something and think, that isn't exactly how I felt, and you get to change it and make it more accurately reflect your truth. Mm-hmm. But you seem pretty comfortable with truth and reality, so I wouldn't worry about that. But I want to say one thing, that just a thought I just had about giving it to somebody else to read. If it's private, you may not want to. Mm-hmm. You may not want to give it to anybody else to read.
Right.
Put it on tape. Read it on a cassette.
Mm-hmm.
Just make a little tape of it and play it back to yourself later.
If you don't have that, but you do have an answering machine, you can call yourself up and say it into your voicemail.
That's
God
right.
bless modern life. Okay.
You know, I noticed that the program could be, this program could, I noticed the value in it that it could be cathartic for people and also a beginning of something, that where they, for me, I started love letters to other people just because I didn't know who I was going to pick.
Uh-huh.
And so I had these other love letters started.
Wonderful.
So thank you guys.
You'll finish those too and keep in touch?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, well, let's just get back to Teresa then for a minute. Do you have...
Well, I just want to remind our listeners that we do love to hear from you. Please, this is where we bend the rules, please email us.
Or send us a love letter. You don't have an address.
You don't have our love letter. You need to email us.
Sorry.
And here is the address. It's here's our website, www.loveletterslive.com, and there's a place to click Contact Us, and we would really love to hear from you. If one of these programs touches you, if you have a love letter that you'd like to share with Janet and ask her to give you some tips about how it might read or how it might be better, we'd love to hear that. Send us love letters that you've received, whatever, and if you give us permission, we'll share them on the air. Again, please go to the website, www.loveletters.com.
And if you have any questions for Marcus or anything you'd like to share with him, if your experience is similar, please write to us, and we will be happy to forward it to Marcus. And then you'll be in touch with each other, although I did give you his construction service
website.
But feel free to send it through us. And we'll send it right over to him.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
So to all our listeners and to Marcus, thank you for joining us. We hope you'll tune in every week to KUSF 90.3 FM.
Do we have any questions here? Okay, so what we're going to do, we're out of time, and we want to say, if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
Absolutely. So till next week. With love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.